I was fascinated to read this and wondered how much like the land of Israel in the days before the exile are we at times. We become comfortable in our wealth. We become complacent in those good things that we have, those blessings that we've been given, and we begin to forget that they are blessings from God. The strong run and think that they win the race, but without the feet that God has given them, they could not walk. The rich count themselves well off and think that they have done good things in order to receive such blessings. But unless they share those blessings with those who are less well off, they say that you can't take it with you. What they forget to say is that it can keep you from going. When we forget that the things that we have, the blessings that we have, the joys that we have, the comfort that we have, the love that we have, and the family that we have are all gifts from God, like Israel, we begin to turn from God and His blessings, thinking that this is all our doing. And then when we need His blessings, He cannot hear us because we have turned away. The Old Testament often speaks of God's wrath, but I think that that is a misunderstanding. God does not so much get angry with us when we do not do His will as disappointed, because when we do not do His will and share His blessings and do His work, then we keep ourselves from Him, and when He wishes to bless us, we are looking in the wrong direction. We're going the wrong way. We are not paying attention to what He has for us. Because what He has for us is seldom what we think we want or what we think we need, but it is what He knows would be best. And what He knows is far greater than what we know. It's a struggle to try and serve God, because what seems right, what seems obvious, what seems like the obvious thing to do in worldly terms turns out often to not be where He wants us to go. What He wants us to do in so many cases is to step out on faith and do the unexpected, the not so easy, sometimes the apparently impossible, so that He can bless us and show His power in His miracles through our weakness and His strength. When I go to do something for God that I could never do in the world with my own abilities, and He fills me with the ability to do that thing, then everyone sees that it is a miracle. Britt talked about her accident and how she believed that God had saved her because all of the people believed that she would die. They called her family because they didn't think she would make it. And yet she rose to come and be here with us today through 11 years of life, struggles, witness. Each of us has our own stories of things that God has done, has showed us what He can do when we are faithful. Miracles that have happened in our lives, miracles that have happened to people we've known, miraculous things. I had to go back and do some research, because verse 8, it talks about how can I make you like Admah and how can I treat you like Zeboim? And I was like, I don't know Admah and Zeboim. Who is that? Where are they? And what I found was that they are cities in the same valley as Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the rain of fire that destroyed them utterly. These two smaller towns were in the same vicinity and afflicted with the same evil and illnesses and were destroyed as well. But perhaps in a sense even more so, because who even remembers them? Will God destroy us because we are too busy with our own things, our own lives, our own worries, our own troubles, our own grandiosity, our own self-importance, our own busyness to do His work and do His will? I don't think so. I think that it is in our little churches that we see still people trying to be God's people, to do His will. We don't have great resources. We don't have the things that larger churches have, and yet we still, in our own way, reach out, touch lives, change lives, see miraculous things happening in our lives, and know that God is present. People have come here to visit and said that they felt God's Spirit here. They felt the Spirit of love here. They felt our Spirit of church family here. And indeed, many of us have said the same thing. It's a family. We love each other. We worship together. We feel that familial, am I saying that right? That family connection. One people, one God. And we share the traditions, the liturgy, with Christians, with Methodists, with people around the world. And so we come together today to share our communion. From the world's view, not enough bread or enough grape juice to satisfy much of anything. But from our view, body and blood of Christ that transforms everything. To become Christ-like, to be able to live as He did, to be able to know God as He did, to be able to share that knowing with those who don't know. What an amazing message. What a wonderful promise. What a wondrous opportunity. A blessing to be in Bethel, the city of God, the people of God, this church, this community, and yet connected throughout the world and throughout the ages. All of those people who have bowed before Him and shared that meal, the body and blood of Christ. Amen.